Fred Film Radio, International Film Festival, Rotterdam, Netherlands.
My guest at this time on the Big Fred Tuesday is filmmaker Tim Leyendecker. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure for me to be talking with you. We're going to be talking about Feast, which has been presented, it's going to be presented at the International Film Festival Rotterdam. A very interesting film, and I'm really excited to talk with you. The film that we're going to be talking about is basically based on true events, and that's what the listeners should know. I was not familiar with the events that the film is exploring. So rather than me spewing nonsensical things, would you maybe be able to tell me about what I would define as the shocking case that you explore in this film, or that at least kind of provided a starting point for you to explore?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so in 2007, there was a court case where three men were convicted for drugging or inviting other men to sex parties and then drugging them by putting by spiking their drinks and then injecting them with their own HIV infected blood. And this was a big case in the Netherlands, of course, because it was such a horrific thing to do, and really beyond everybody's imagination, including mine. And I was really interested in how people would get to do something like this, and what their motivations were. And so, I read about it, and was also easy because there was quite a lot was published. And one of the things that was published first was, like, we have this paper in the Netherlands that's a bit, you could say it's not a tabloid, but very populist. And they would have these big headlines with HIV monsters. And I read another article, and there I read that one of these guys was working as a bartender, the other was a nurse, and the other one was like an account manager for an energy company. And for me, it was such a simple fact was so revealing that it's not possible, of course, for a bartender just to be a monster. So there must be more than that. And this started boiling a bit in my. I was just thinking how I could process this into a work, an artistic work, a film or an installation. Yeah.
So you were interested also in the psychological and sociological aspects of the story.
Yes. But very quickly onwards, I was interested, of course, also in morality, but I was reading this text by Plato, which is often translated as The Banquet in English, where you have seven monologues about Eros and seven people gathering during also an orgy at that time, only a different orgy than the ones that was talked about in this case. And they would together do a beautiful thing. They would have monologues, and in that they would search for the definition of Eros and truth and beauty. And I thought, maybe it's interesting to see what something that's so appalling and awful to juxtapose that with something that's so beautiful and look what happens in that space in between. Because even this is also, I wrote the script with someone else, with Geert-Jan Reinders, who is a Dutch playwright that I really admire. I was very happy to be able to work with him. And we basically asked ourselves the question, okay, so these events took place during orgies, and orgies now mean that people, they had sex with each other. So maybe we can say that sex, the start of sex is, there's always something, there's always love involved in a way. I mean, there's always wanting to be together. There's always affection, etc. Although it can be really, maybe not in ways that you would define as such, but still. So the script that we wrote is really a meeting between that really beautiful of the Plato text and the really horrific of that event of those events that happens in the Netherlands.
So it's bringing these two things that may seem polar opposite together, and the effect that would create.
Exactly. Yeah. Or even maybe the space in between that created. Yeah. And that's what this space is what I like to call the film that we make now. Yeah.
But is that space a sort of mediation then?
Yeah, in a way, but the mediation, I think, would also suggest that I'm, yeah, well, I think as a filmmaker or as a team, we facilitated this space. But what I'm also trying to do is really enabling the viewer to really think about the case, her or himself, and not opposing my morality or my ideas too much. What I'm really trying to create create our arenas where these things are taking place and that suck you in sometimes and that's sometimes I think really immersive, but sometimes also kicks you out and makes you wonder, oh, what was I doing here? What was I seeing? And what was I, what was I thinking about it? Yeah.
Yeah. And do you think that there's a personal motivation for you to pursue this type of project?
Well, you know, I've always been interested in, well, I think the very simple question, what is truth? Very simple and very complex question, of course. And you just mentioned the word mediation or mediated. And I think it's really hard to find truth in mediated things. I do a certain type of meditation. It's called Vipassana. And this is really about observing truth and truth in your own body, literally. I mean, your skin, your body, maybe you heard about it, and then you just observe these things, these processes that take place. And for me, this is almost the only thing that you could see as really truth. I mean, that's your own observation. So that means that everything that we are doing as artists, as makers, is always mediated, and there's always layers that could be peeled off to reveal other things than the thing that the maker wanted to express. And I've always been critical and very interested in this process. And I think Feast is really it's a long version of ways I've been working in my shorter works before.
Do you see filmmaking as a type of meditation?
No, not at all. No, because it's...
Yeah, what about film viewing?
No, because it takes you away instead of taking you inside. I think if you meditate, you are really observing processes that are part of yourself. And when you're watching a film, you see something that's presented by someone else. Of course, then there's also the way that you respond to it. That can be very meaningful, but it's I wouldn't say it's meditative. No, it's not for me. Still, I wouldn't call it meditation, but I really do like films that give space to the viewer to engage in a way that's not just that you're following the story, the narrative, or that you are feeling only empathy for the lead character or whatever. I mean, I really like films that gives you a certain kind of freedom where you can find a space to relate to it personally more than, like I said, really through the literal lens of the author.
And Tim, what's interesting about your film, I thought, is how it unfolds over seven individual vignettes. And can you tell me more about that? Because I understand that you also used a diverse range of cinematographers, and I assume that has to do with the choice of also using a wide range of styles.
Yeah. And, quite literally, so this text by Plato is also, like I said, it's seven monologues, and I had the idea of really following the structure. So this film has seven... in a way, it's also seven monologues or seven ideas about these events that happened there. I thought it would be interesting to also literally look at it from seven perspectives, so from seven lenses, from seven cinematographers, DOPs. Yeah, so this is why I chose to ask seven very different DOPs and work with me.
Oh, right. So that's the reason behind the seven.
Yeah. So they all have their own sequence, you could say, or their own chapter. Yeah.
And so would you define the film, or the side of the film, would you define it as a hybrid?
No, I would find it. I mean, I would say it's a fiction film with documentary elements. Hybrid for me maybe veers a bit too much towards the idea of the documentary. And for me, I really want to make it clear. Also, I think in my film, there's some interventions that I did that I think really make it clear that it's a very it's not an objective. It's not my idea to be very objective about what happened there, for instance.
Right. You talked about the sort of influence of documentary, although, as you just said there, you want to make it clear that this is not a documentary. What about your background in fine art? I believe that you actually studied fine arts.
True. Yeah. My formation was in fine arts. So I also did photography, drawing, etc. But I've always been very interested in the moving image, and I always felt that there was a lot of freedom in fine arts where you didn't really. I mean, if you look at fiction film or documentary film, there's always, of course, a certain structure at stake. I mean, either you follow it or not. This is not the issue so much, but you know that there's this history and this expectation that it's that you follow certain path. And this was always what attracted me in fine arts, that there was more freedom in that form. Or in those forms. I mean, it's infinite. But I was also really happy to now for the first time make a feature film and see how these restrictions would work for me and how I could explore that and use it for the better for the film.
But do you think that maybe that training or that the studies in fine art sort of enabled you to explore different ways in which to experiment with the cinematic art form?
Yeah, I can imagine that that's quite probable, yes. This is maybe also why it wasn't super simple to get the funding for this project, because it was because I wanted a bit more freedom also, maybe when I already had the money to, maybe to change some things. And so, yeah, I don't know if it's maybe the training... I'm always very open to form and not just thinking about content, but also how things can look. And I'm always very aware of restricting myself too much. So maybe there's a link there. Yeah.
And, you know, I hope I'm not saying anything out of context, but as I was watching Feast, I inevitably thought of the current situation with the pandemic, particularly, I guess, in the concept of responsibility. And, you know, especially in the part where we see the experiment with the flowers. Mm-hmm. Was this something that was consciously at the back of your mind as you were making the film? I mean, when did you make the film? Was the pandemic already a thing? I'm just trying to understand that as well, I guess.
Sure. No, I understand. No, it's very, it's really, so the last, we shot the last things in December 2019. So that was, well, I think that maybe just the first news from Wuhan was reaching our channels, but it's, I didn't anticipate or think of that when we made the film. It's a very strange coincidence that it's so, well, basically everything that you watch now, you relate it, of course, to the situation that's happening now. But I think in this film, this is also maybe why it resonates until now quite well with people, that it's really offers some challenging ideas about what a virus is, for instance, and how you can look at that. But I didn't anticipate it, no, because it wasn't there yet, or at least not in this, not in Europe yet, no.
And how do you feel about that? Like just the film acquiring this sort of new and unexpected meaning in the face of current times?
Yeah, so for me, this film is not so much about these happenings that happened in Groningen. It's much more, of course, they're important as a trigger to think about certain aspects that have happened there. For me, it's more the ideas that provoke these happenings that make my film. And in that sense, what's happening now is very, of course, it's interesting that my film opens up discussions that are so easy to link to problems we're facing now. For instance, what it means to infect someone else, or what it means to be infected, or even what a virus is, and to think of the viewpoint of a virus. You know, we see a virus as something evil, but you could also look at it as an entity that wants to survive. And these are, I think, could be a bit controversial questions, but nonetheless, it can be interesting to think about it, what it could offer us philosophically. And so, of course, don't get me wrong, it's horrible that this pandemic is happening, but I hope with Feast that I bring something new into the discussion that could be interesting.
Well, another thing that I found interesting about your film was just very simply this kind of accosting at certain points of art and science, because when you talk about any virus, in fact, it's inevitable that your first reaction would be to possibly start to rummage for scientific answers in your mind, even though you don't have any, which probably accounts for some people even now saying the vaccines don't work or whatever, you know. But anyways, what I'm trying to get at is that there is a kind of similarity between the arts and science, but in another way, they're also completely different. I don't know whether you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, I guess, of course, artists don't have to come up with cures, but they can come up with ideas and with new ways of looking at things. And maybe it's less a question of life and death when it comes to when you compare science to arts. But I think if you look at it from a perspective, for instance, like a psychologist, is also looking to cure through ideas and through responses and through maybe not through just through medicine, but also about how we could adjust things to make things work differently or improve things. I don't see myself as someone who instrumentalizes art that way, so I'm not making art to make a better world. I mean, at least not consciously, but I hope that it contributes to, like thinking of these kind of issues from a more philosophical point of view and see what's happening, what happens when you do so.
All right, Tim, it's been an absolute pleasure and definitely an interesting conversation as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.